From Lubbock Community Theater, this is Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of LCC's Five Till Places. I am Jed.
And I'm Beth.
Who has not been here in a long time.
Not in a very long time.
But she's
thrilled. Thrilled to
but
be here,
Jed. But she's
taking
a hardcore smoking.
Yeah, I am. My voice is a little under the weather. I don't really feel bad. I just sound bad. But this is when you can channel your inner NPR. I'm glad to be here, Jed.
If your voice going down a register or two, then you sound, it's like good radio voice.
Right.
Yeah. You already had VO in your work resume anyway.
I did.
So, yeah, that works out. Hmm. I also want to point out to everybody that this is episode 99 of this show. Episode 100 will be coming up next. You should tune in and listen to that.
It's going to be a very special episode.
Episode 50 was me and Daniel and Beth sitting in this room being friends and drinking a little too much. Episode 100 will probably be something like that.
Along
bigger.
Those lines.
So
alert
exciting.
The media.
Right. But the reason we're here, it's not just me and Beth at this table, you see. Not just sitting here catching up on old podcast memories. We've got members of cast and crew of LCT's upcoming production of Calendar Girls in here with us. So let's go around. We can arbitrarily start on this side and go around and so who are you and what is your involvement with the show? Like, what are you doing?
Sure. I'm Kaylee Young and I am directing.
That's it.
That was so short.
We'll go more in depth.
My name is Ayana, and I play Annie. I'm one of the main characters of Calendar Girls.
And I'm Laura Bryan. I play Marie, the head of the Women's League, who is a little uptight.
There's got to be some opposition to this.
I've already introduced myself, but I'm Beth, and I play Chris, who is Annie's best friend.
And then there is some nameless entity sitting next to me that we have no idea what she's doing for the show or why she's on this podcast.
Guess who it is and win 2 free tickets to the show.
There you go.
I'm Rachel, and I am stage manager, right? Okay.
What? No, really?
I help Kaylee is what I do.
Kaylee's right hand.
Yep. Uh-huh.
The hand of the queen.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Very important job.
Yes. Mm. Does this job entail like assassination mm-hmm. of enemies?
Yeah, and she makes you get her drinks and stuff. She's like,
oh, just snap her finger. Uh-huh, yeah.
It's not true.
Because anyone who's known Kaylee for about 3 seconds will realize that this is
here's
not
your
how.
Sip.
Yeah. Yes. That's a bit much. That's enough.
I didn't say the whole thing.
So who wants to give us a basic premise before we start talking about it, about what Calendar Girls is about?
Sure. Calendar Girls is about a group of women who share all of the emotions of life together. And they support each other through a significant loss, like all of us do. It centers around the main character, Annie's husband, John, and his fight with leukemia and how the women overcome that grief.
But it's also a comedy.
Yes.
It is. It's really funny. Like, I know that it sounds, oh, wow, that's going to be, whew. Hilarious. It's so funny.
They come up with a unique means of dealing with all of this, which is kind of the central premise of the plot. Does anyone want to talk about what they do?
Well, one might assume from the title.
Right.
They decide each year their Women's League has put out a calendar mm-hmm. of relatively mundane, boring things. And Chris comes up with the idea of doing more of a pinup style calendar because flesh sells. Flesh is gonna. That's gonna make the money. Mm-hmm. Of course, none of them have ever done anything near close to this.
Right.
And a lot of things come out about the women's relationships. You get to hear throughout the course of the two acts. You get to hear each woman's story. Mm-hmm. It really is an ensemble. There are main characters who. Because you got to place the story somewhere, right? But it really is an ensemble. You hear each woman's story. You hear each woman's trial. In Chris's case, somebody else tells her story quite succinctly to her face. So anyway, this whole process, some things fall apart, some things get tied back together.
Because Kaylee asked me to help her with it, and so I was reading the script, and there was this one scene, I won't say what scene, but there's a scene in it that I was laughing so hard that I was like, okay, well, I'm in now. Like, so.
And we should note that when we say like a pinup style calendar, it's not like just naked Playboy centerfold type things.
No, everybody's modesty is maintained. It's more like you think you're gonna see, but you don't.
Yeah,
it touches on the burlesque style and is implied nudity.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah, none of the actors are going to be actually naked during the show. You're not going to see anything.
And it's not naked.
Right.
It's nude.
It's nude.
Right. The difference.
Don't report us to HR.
Did we mention this is based on a true story?
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It is. It actually happened in England.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, look
Their
at us.
Their goal was to raise about $600, and they ended up raising about $60,000.
Oh, wow. There are no chairs. Yeah. That's
amazing. Oh, we need to pull up another, yeah. There's...
We have a new guest who's just joined
us. Piano bench.
Yay.
Okay, there well, now go. She's got to introduce herself, too.
Oh, hello everyone. My name is Micah Collier Gonzalez, and I am the prop master for Calendar Girls. Yay! And I'm just getting out of improv rehearsal. So sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. See, we do a lot up here at this theater. Always 9 things going on.
Micah's glorious task, with the help of our costumer Shelley Barba, to obscure certain parts during certain scenes.
Yes, while things. Alluding to all of the right things.
Right.
They're brilliant.
Interesting,
they really
clever,
are.
And hilarious ways to obscure the human body.
Yes. We hope so.
Right. Yes. Or else we might be facing some trouble.
But. And it might be worth noting that all of these ladies are of a certain age.
Yeah, because that's
none of them are young things.
Because that's part of the...
Charm.
The charm
is the word you're looking for.
Charm.
That's it.
It's part
Watch
of the
yourself.
Absolute bizarre weirdness of the story. Part of both the charm and I would imagine some of the opposition from some of the other parties is that this is not like a 19-year-old who is like, I'm going to be a model and I'm going to, these are just average women who think, wouldn't it be, since we are not the kinds of women who you normally see on these calendars, it'd be hilarious to put us on these calendars. And then, of course, some of the other women perhaps have an objection to this plan. Mm-hmm. Within the own, perhaps you could speak to this a little, that there's some opposition to.
Yes, Marie is all about raising money, of course, the Women's League doing its thing. But the idea that they're doing a nude calendar just does not sit well with her.
Right.
Yeah, she's very opposed to it. But there's kind of a tiny part of her, I believe, after it starts becoming a very successful endeavor, and these women start actually becoming famous. Everyone that hears about them, you know, just they become famous. And so I think Marie is a little bit jealous that she's not in the calendar, but she would never admit that to anyone.
Right.
You did not hear me say that.
Right. She'd be so mad.
She's disgusted with the whole affair thoroughly. And I would look so much cuter than her in June. Right. Yeah. So... I would love to hear both from actors and prop and people behind the scenes the unique set of challenges that go into making a production like this. Like every show has got its own weird little challenges.
I will say this show is the most prop heavy show I have ever done in my life. And I've done a lot of shows.
You literally just did Play That Goes Wrong.
Yes. And that show, like the props are literally, they're essential, but I would say that the props in the show are even more essential just because, well, like because of the part that they play in specific scenes, but also with the message of the show, it's really important that each and every aspect of what's on stage is elevating the storyline and the message that these women are trying to say. So finding a balance of like, what is a good piece to use, but also not too big or obnoxious or funny or, you know, or not too dull, yeah. You know, finding a balance between those has been a fun challenge.
Something that hammers the joke or the humor home enough without distracting from the joke or the overall story.
Yeah, actually, to go along with that, I just in character development for myself, it's been hard to balance the sorrow with I'm not on average a sorrowful person. As far as even not only just personally, but as Annie, she's not a sorrowful person. So I have to have that underlying sorrow to Chris's shenanigans. She's still getting me in trouble, but not to be drawn down into it. So I'm trying to find, as far as my own character development, trying to find that balance of, you know, sentimentality and whatnot, and still... I'm keeping up with Chris and her shenanigans, you know.
There's an element of kindred spirit between all of these women. I think they've known each other. All of them have probably known each other since high school or earlier.
Yeah.
There's no back on my earring. It's going to come out. And to the other actors in the show, credit. Not so much my own, but to their credit. It looks and feels like we've been friends that long. I think I've done something with everybody in there except maybe Jill, who plays Cora. But I've worked with Jill off stage.
Right, I was about to say.
In a production, but if that thread isn't there, that this show doesn't work.
Yeah.
And these ladies have just been absolutely brilliant. Each character has very clearly got their persona.
Absolutely. That was something I noticed in auditions between Laura and Teresa, that I thought they had known each other for years and they just met in that room. Mm-hmm. It's very impressive to see how the chemistry has developed in such a short time.
Do you feel like that chemistry bleeds over into... real world relationships at all, or
yeah. I mean, I knew Ayana and I did Wonderful Life, and that's when I met Kaylee as well. That's and I knew within two rehearsals that I was in love with these people, with them. It's just and there's just something to be said when it all comes together, when it all. Even in the beginning, when you know you're going to have to undertake this thing of people are going to see underneath my clothes and I'm 47 and I look how I look and I've had two babies and I'm not young. And this is how I look. But this particular group that's come together, they've just been spectacular. All of them. They're like, whatever, we love ourselves and we love you and it's great.
And that's kind of the theme, John's theme, that we just get better with age. But even though we think our bodies aren't better,
right?
But we really do get better with age. We learn how to be there more for each other, I think. The older you get, you know how to put the insignificant differences aside and be there for each other through whatever that girlfriend is going through.
Yeah, I from the perspective of someone who's off stage, I imagine it is such a fun and bonding experience between all of that, because you're put in a very vulnerable space to like you were saying, Beth, to, you know, show the audience all of that. And to do it with the women all together. And also, like, when y'all come see the show, you will see that there's a lot of moving parts in that scene specifically. Like, people have to get angles just right when they're holding up the props to cover people so they have time to, you know, put their robes on and off and all of that. But, you know, being on stage with someone in the first place is such a special experience. Like, you are closer to that person in a very special way that you don't experience off stage. And then to add that aspect of it on top of it must make the experience even more special and dear.
Mm-hmm. It does. Well, still there. Come see more of us than you ever wanted.
So, was that an issue at all coming for anyone coming into audition for this show, knowing anything about like Beth talked about, people are going to see me in a state of semi undress, like, and that I'm signing up for that. Is that?
Of course it
was. I had forgotten all about that part. Okay, so I had brought a friend to see the cake.
Right.
And Kaylee was outside.
And I had a seat.
And we were just chilling until, you know, the next act came up. Yeah. And she was like, yeah, we're going to do Calendar Girls. It's a little more racy. And I was like, oh. Right out of my head, right? And so I have a friend. I was taking a hiatus from theater for a while, and I had a friend who said, like, hey, let's go audition because there's like 9 women roles. We can get one of them. And I was like, don't want to. So, yeah. And she's like, come on. And I was like, okay, I'll support you and go audition. And then I get a part, and I was like, oh, no? Yay! I don't know. And then I remembered... yeah, that home.
That whole part, yeah. Right.
And then I was reminded of exactly what Calendar Girls was. I was like, oh, well.
I've done it, and I'm doing
it. I did it before when I was 19. Right, right. Just despite my mother.
Everybody was very upfront with us in the beginning.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
When you come to an audition for something like this, they gave us a sort of body map, mm-hmm. and highlighters, nice. And they said, show us everything that you are not comfortable with showing.
Right.
And we did that, and I'm not showing you any of those things.
Right.
Yeah, we were very thoughtful, the costumers and myself, about making sure everyone felt empowered to be who they were.
And the costumers have been delightful about keeping that a collaborative and ongoing conversation, mm-hmm. and checking mm-hmm. back in with us. Are you still okay with this? Is this where you're going to be most comfortable? Is this going to work? Do you want to do this? Do you have something of yours that you want to? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been fantastic.
That's been a super gracious experience.
Yeah. The actors need to be comfortable with this. And we also want the audience to be comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're like, audience? There's people? People coming
home. I thought we were just doing it. I'm at home. I'm just doing it.
Never mind. I'm not doing it.
Well, even though I'm not on stage as the director, I did take a similar journey. Mm-hmm. I did not originally intend to direct the show. Someone else was slated to direct it, and I was asked later to step in and take that person's place. And I read the script and knew that I had to. I never met my mother-in-law, but I know she would love it. And I would run around Trader Joe's smeared in bundt cake, singing deep in the heart of Texas if it would bring her back for just a minute.
And I imagine that we'll hear loads of those stories. I hope that we do.
Lots. Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope that we hear loads of those stories.
Yeah. We're talking about that that we just posted recently on the Facebook about partnering with other cancer organizations and just allowing people a place to share the stories of how cancer has affected their lives, because cancer is prevalent enough that it has affected most people. Mm-hmm. If mm-hmm. like... have somebody like you and me and Heather all lost our moms to it, mm-hmm. and
yeah,
and then there's other people at this table who mm-hmm. yeah,
I lost my mom and my daughter mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah,
and you fought your own battle,
and mm-hmm. I've had it myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and there's other like
I actually, it was surprising to me because
my husband is, well, he will always have cancer. It won't go away. The kind that he has is always there. And I thought that it was going to be a lot harder. I thought it was going to make me cry, and not just because I have a stone heart that I never cry. But I thought that it was going to affect me a lot more than it did. But because it feels like it's not like a downer. It's not like, ooh, cancer's rough. And that's not to say that it's not like, ooh, cancer's rough. But it's more about people coming together and being there for each other, and less like, oh, cancer shitty. Like, we already know that. Like, that's that's knowledge. So it was, it didn't, it made me feel good as opposed to crying. So that was.
And you don't get anybody giving any those sort of unbearable platitudes that people come around with when someone passes. There is none of that. There is the, we love you. Now let's get some stuff done.
This is what he would have wanted.
But sometimes what you need, you don't want someone to be like, oh, let's, you just want someone to be, hey, I am here. You know, like, that's it. That's
all. I can think of any time that I've been, any time that I have had to fight with grief, but like, even any time when it didn't get that far, when it's just dealing with something awful and hard and scary. Before it even gets to the point of loss and grief. Like, never in the history of man has it been helpful in that situation to point out to, in, any of the platitudes that you normally get about things happening. And it's all, you know, it's going to be okay. You'll get through this. Yeah, I know I'm going to fucking get through it. I'm just right now, I'm going to, you know, do something that helps me not want to feel like I want to die. In
like it
second.
Feels feel like you're running through mud.
Yeah, exactly. Like.
There's less resistance if you take your shirt off.
This show is all about being aerodynamic.
It's all about how to get through the mud.
But, like, yeah.
So, well, how it's all said and done, cancer doesn't win.
That's right.
In the long run.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. So tell the people how they can find tickets to the show, Jed.
So if you get tickets to this very heartwarming and affirming and uplifting and empowering show, you can find them at lubbockcommunitytheater.org. There's also posts all over our social media. We'll have posts all over the place about it as we gear up for it. But lubbockcommunitytheater.org, if you can't find a social media post or whatever, just go right to the website, go right to the source, get your tickets. And we say this all the time, and I feel like Lubbock is getting better about this, but we are still turning people away. Like, we just closed our youth program, did the Chronicles of Narnia. The number of people who didn't get to see that show because they waited 3 days before it opened and all of the tickets were gone, including the ones we had added later. This is a thing that happens, and it's been happening more. Like, just, so get your tickets. Get them now. As you're listening to this, you can keep the audio playing and then go over to another window.
Just open another tab.
Yeah, open another tab.
We've all got 307 tabs open at any time anyway. Well, you are a different kind of
I feel that
crazy.
About you. I do.
No, I believe that.
I do not.
I 100%
three, like,
believe
tops.
That.
All them tab, no.
Yeah, if I get normal, more than four, I start going.
Yeah,
my normal workflow, I've usually got like eight. Every day at work.
Nope.
Less so since Jordan has come and taken over the social media, I've had less tabs open. But that's so. Thank you for that, Jordan.
But the moral of the story is don't be last minute.
That's right.
Right.
Because we have sold out most of our shows this season, right?
Yeah,
that's great.
And the ones that didn't sell, if any show didn't sell out, it came real close. Exceptionally close. So it's.
Yeah, no pressure.
No. Just enjoy it. Just come enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yes, just come see and share in this experience with these people and feel human for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, wide range of emotions.
Yes.
The widest.
Phenomenal cast and a phenomenal crew and people that I've formed very strong bonds with in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a community, we've got one here. Come join us.
That's a good, well done.
Good.
Well, I'm not going to say anything any better than that.
Wait, I've been dying to do this.
Okay.
Chad, this is where we do the thing.
What do I say here, Beth?
Thank you from Lubbock Community Theater. On behalf of myself and Michael.
Oh, yes, that's right. On behalf of myself and my co-hosts, thank you to because I have co-hosts here this time. I have the one that helps me in the show. On behalf of me and my co-host, a huge thank you to all of our listeners. A thank you to our guests who are here tonight giving you all of this impetus to see this show. And thank you in advance to everyone who comes to see it. So until then, this has been Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
Five Till Places is a production of Lubbock Community Theater. Be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates surrounding our projects and the goings-on at LCT. Our theme music is Pizza and Video Games by Bonus Points. A link to that artist and their music can be found in the show notes. Look them up, give them some support. Thanks for being with us this week, and as always, thank you for supporting live theater in the Lubbock, Texas area and beyond.